I Want More, written by Zia Zippy 5379 and read by K-Burb. This is a Danny Phantom Batman crossover fic, rated general audiences in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Danny slash Dick slash Sam, as well as Danny slash Dick independently and Danny slash Sam independently. It is a drabble sequence of a fairy tale retelling of the story The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen. Chapter 1. The Sea King had 7 children. Though only one was by blood, they were all his by heart. The eldest, Dick, came to him after being orphaned in a whaling attack. Next came Jason, a thief in need of a home. Then Tim, drawn to the king through their shared grief. Steph followed Tim, and never left, worming her way into the king's heart. Damien, the only child of blood, left after being abandoned by his mother. Cass, though second eldest, was near last to join, silent and deadly. Last Duke, the one that no one, not even him, expected. Chapter 2. All the king's children had their interests, many of which involved the humans that so often sailed their ships above their heads, but none so much as Dick. Something about them drew his attention, and more days than not, he could be found searching the surface for them, or searching the seafloor for things they left behind. There was no rhyme or reason to what caught his eye, only that it came from the humans. The fascination worried King Bruce, but he had no good enough reason to stop his child from doing something he loved, even through fear. Chapter 3. Prince Danny was never happier than when he was at sea. The open ocean and clear skies and being so far from land that it couldn't be seen were where he was most at home, even if he wasn't able to be out there as much as he wanted. His duties as the crown prince were too important, though that never stopped him from being out there as often as he could. Not just to explore and learn more about the creatures of the ocean as he told his parents to appease them into letting him go, but for freedom. Chapter 4. The day the merfolk was spotted, the crew nearly lost their minds, or at least believed they had. At first, they had thought it a dolphin or shark, but as it got closer, it was clear that it could not be. For one, they spotted arms and hair, something no sea creature had but the mythical merfolk. And this one was unmistakable. Danny was entranced by the bright blue tail flipping through the water, between the color of the sky and the shallow waters around the reefs he loved so much. But the being was gone as fast as arriving. Chapter 5. He had been spotted. Dick knew the humans on the ship had seen him. Even though he had tried to stay far enough away to not be seen, or at least be mistaken for something else. But their cheers told him otherwise. There was no escaping the fact. He had been seen and taken for what he was. Bruce would be furious. The one thing he had always said not to do, and Dick had gone and done it. He had to tell Bruce and suffer the consequences. There would be no more glimpses of the human he sought after. Chapter 6.
I know what I saw, Danny told Tucker.
And the crew agrees, Tucker replied. But that does not mean I believe it. You were out in the middle of nowhere. There's no telling what you all could have imagined.
It wasn't a mass hallucination, Danny insisted.
Whatever you say. But don't let anyone know that you actually believe what you saw.
It could ruin everything, and you know how important this treaty is.
A sigh escaped from the prince.
I know, and I won't do anything to risk them thinking I am unfit to rule or for their daughter's hand.
Chapter 7. Could be worse, Jason said. He only banned you from going to the surface for 2 moons. I expected at least 6.
So did I, Dick said. But it was the first time.
You are the favorite.
You know as well as I do that is not true.
Are you actually going to listen?
I'm going to try. I wouldn't want it to be extended longer. And anyway, he didn't say I couldn't keep collecting on the seafloor.
I should be less surprised than I am.
The conversation ended by him swimming off in a streak of red.
Chapter 8.
Lightning flashed across the sky and the waves raged. The sea and sky were angry, furious at one another, and all who got in their way would perish. All sensible folk, both human and mer, were tucked safely away. Except for one boat that hadn't made it back in time. Things had gone astray, and they were too far out by the time anyone knew just how bad the storm would be. The sailors moved across the deck, fighting for their safety and their lives, trying to survive the battle. All managed to stay on board but one, their prince.
Chapter 9. Dick knew that the storm was coming, and he knew his human ship was still out, that they would not make it to safety before it arrived. So he did the only thing he could and disobeyed the king's orders to stay away from the surface. He had to make sure they stayed safe. It was a good thing he followed them, for while most were fine, their lashings staying true, one was not. The most important one to Dick. His human, the one he watched from afar, fascinated by his beauty, went overboard. And Dick had to save him.
Chapter 10. He swam through the wave, pulling the human behind him, trying his best to make sure the unconscious man was able to keep his head above water and breathe. Distantly, he was aware that one of his siblings had followed, though he didn't bother to see who. He just knew from the calls and feeling that it was one of them. He was too focused on saving the man thrown overboard in the gales and storm. Consequences for his actions be damned. He couldn't let the man die. Just as he felt his energy wane, the shore came into view.
Chapter 11. Dick stayed and watched over the man as he lay on the sand. He waited for him to show signs of wakefulness, or for someone to come looking for him. While he waited, he rested himself for a bit, and then spoke to the man. He told him stories of his siblings and of his people. He sang some of their songs. Up close, the man was even more beautiful than Dick had realized, at least by merfolk standards. He had never imagined getting to see him so close. He watched until the moment he began to stir, leaving to home.
Chapter 12. Danny had no idea how he made it back to shore after the storm threw him overboard. It should not have been possible for him to survive. Danny knew he should have drowned in the sea, with the fact that he lost consciousness. Yet, somehow, miraculously, he had made it back to shore alive and mostly unharmed. It didn't even feel like he had come close to drowning. He knew what the water felt like in his lungs. He knew better than to tell anyone. He remembered a voice telling him he would make it back safe and sound.
Chapter 13.
Of course, Bruce was furious about what he had done. He had disobeyed a direct order from his king, not only by going to the surface, but by rescuing the human. It did not matter that Dick had not been seen by anyone, just that he disobeyed. He didn't even get any credit for not lying about what he had done, and his punishment was being told he would never be allowed to go near the surface again. He wasn't even allowed to leave the palace without an escort for months. At least his siblings counted most of the time. Chapter 14. Bruce was trying his best to keep his son safe, to not lose him to the humans. He couldn't bear the thought of his child being killed for the so-called science of the men who walked on land. He had lost too many people to that, but he knew it was a losing battle. Dick was much too fascinated by the humans for his own safety. And he could only hope the one who had caught his attention so greatly was one of the kind men, that he would not kill his son for being a merman. Chapter 15. It was late, very late at night when Dick made his escape out of the castle. He couldn't not do it. He was being trapped, stifled, by the overbearing nature of the rules Bruce put on him. He couldn't give up his passion to know more about the people on land, who seemed so similar and so different from his own people. So he snuck out at night to collect more things. But that night was different. He had been told of a magician who might be able to help him. Not just learn more, but to go there himself. Chapter 16. It's not a cheap spell, Zatanna said. I can do it, but you will have to pay the price. I'm willing to do it, Dick said. I will pay it. You should hear the price first. What is it? For the entire time you are on land, you will have no voice. Each step will be painful, and there is a second part to make it permanent. Which is what? You must get a confession of undying love from one who belongs there. Otherwise, you'll be forced back to the sea. Forever. Do it. I will pay that price. Chapter 17. Danny, look! There's someone down there, Tucker called from the edge of the cliff. What? How? Danny said, rushing over. He was right. There was someone down there. They both went rushing down to where they could safely get down to where the person was. Once they got close enough, it became clear it was a man who was naked and who got tackled to the ground by Cujo. After getting the dog off of him, Danny helped him to his feet. What's your name? How did you get here? He just pointed at his throat and shook his head. Chapter 18. They gave the mute man that Danny had found on the beach a home in the castle. Danny managed to learn that his name was Dick by using written text, which set off some alarms to others, but Danny couldn't feel that way. The man was much too sincere in the way he moved and showed his emotions. It took very little time for Dick to become one of his closest confidants, which he sorely needed the closer his upcoming nuptials came. He liked Samantha well enough, but he couldn't help but feel he was losing something wonderful to marriage. Chapter 19. Being on land was wonderful. Dick was learning so much about humans and their culture. And he even learned that his human was a prince. His name was Danny, and he was heir to the throne, even if he had an older sister. But humans were different than merfolk. The only real problem was that Danny was already engaged to another, a foreign princess that he did not love but needed to marry for their kingdom's sake, though Danny said he was sure he could love her if given the time. How could Dick get the confession he needed, though? Chapter 20. Sam wasn't sure how she felt about the prince she was to marry. Daniel was nice enough and had always been polite to her when they met over the years, but she had never perfectly clicked with him. Sure, she would survive, but never be truly happy. Especially not when he looked at the man she had heard he found naked on the beach the way he did. She would never compete with that. She needed a plan to make sure she would at least have some of her husband's affection. She needed to know more about the man. Chapter 21. After a long talk, Danny knew he was neglecting his duties. He only had so long until the wedding, and he needed to be sure that Samantha would be comfortable with him when it happened. He spent less time with Dick and more with her. With every day that passed, he became more comfortable and learned more, and came to realize that he did like her, more than he thought he would have. Maybe even began to love her. Even if the hurt and pain he saw in Dick's eyes broke his heart, he didn't want to choose between them. Chapter 22. Dick was losing his chance. He knew he was running out of time to get what he needed to be able to stay on land. But the best chance, his only chance, was Danny. But he was losing him to Princess Samantha. There were whispers in his ear, sounding like the villains of his youth, telling him he had the power to fix his problem, that he could get rid of the princess that was making him lose his chance at happiness, that her death was the only way for him to succeed at what he needed to get love. Chapter 23. She learned more about the man, who wasn't even truly a man. She had her ways and discovered he was of the sea, which was interesting to her. What was his purpose? It wasn't what the spirits were saying. They wanted her dead, but Dick was refusing them. Was he truly just there because he wanted to be? She decided she would have to get to know him personally before she would be able to decide. It wouldn't be too hard, not with the way he followed Danny around. She would just need to get Tucker's help with Danny. Chapter 24. Dick noticed that the princess was trying to spend more time with him, and he wasn't sure why. She kept trying to get chances to speak with him, the same way he spoke with Danny. Dick was unsure of her motives, but he did find himself enjoying the time all three of them spent together. It was weird to say he almost started feeling the same way for Samantha that he did for Danny, but he couldn't trust those feelings until he knew more about why she had decided to spend time with him, about why she wanted him alone. Chapter 25. It took a number of days for Sam to get Dick alone. He was good at making sure it never happened, but she did it eventually. "I know what you are," she told him. "I know you are from the sea, and I know Daniel doesn't know." She saw the fear in his eyes, but it was not the fear of a failed mission. It was the fear of being harmed. "As long as you mean no harm, I don't care. But if you hurt anyone, you will regret it." He shook his head and smiled, and she smiled back. Chapter 26. Danny noticed the shift in the relationship between Dick and Samantha. They started spending more time together and had shared hidden smiles. Some were worried about the shift, worried that Samantha was showing signs of being unfaithful even before they were married. But Danny didn't mind. He was enjoying the fact that the people he finally admitted to himself he was falling in love with cared for each other, and neither was leaving him behind. In fact, all of them were growing closer and closer. Now he just needed to figure out if they would feel the same way. Chapter 27. Samantha knew Dick was a merman masquerading as human, and didn't care as long as he wasn't hurting anyone. He was grateful that he had someone by his side in his secret. She still didn't know what he needed to get in order to stay, but he couldn't tell her. He couldn't risk a false confession. But he felt himself falling in love with her, just as he had with Danny. And it hurt to know that the day he would lose them both was growing ever closer. For the day they married was the day he would be leaving. Chapter 28. The day that Prince Daniel and Princess Samantha were married dawned bright and clear. The plans for an outdoor wedding were cleared and preparations were abound across all the grounds. There were people running in all directions getting things done. Inside, the prince and princess were being prepared for the ceremony, both seeming much happier than had been expected by anyone. Off to the side, running errands as needed, was their friend Dick, hiding sadness in his eyes. And for keen observers who took the time to look out over the cliffs, they would see Merfolk, the Sea King's children. Chapter 29. Danny could not stop smiling the entire day of the wedding. It went more perfectly than he could have imagined. Everything was perfect, and he had both the woman and man he loved by his side. It was the best day of his life. That was until he noticed that Dick seemed sad. More than he ever had since Danny met him. Sam agreed with him, and they both grew worried. So, when the night was ending, and they saw Dick heading off to the cliffs leading down to the ocean, they changed clothes and hand in hand went after him. Chapter 30. Dick stood at the edge of the ocean. His family waited for him in the shallows. None tried to talk to him, knowing he could not speak to them, knowing his heart was breaking. He would go home with them that night, return to the sea for the rest of his life, leaving behind the people and places he loved, as soon as the moon reached its peak. Then they appeared. "Please don't go," Sam said. "We can't lose you," Danny said. That wasn't what they needed to say. "We love you. We always will. We are incomplete without you." Chapter 31. Everyone knew that Dick was more than just a friend to the king and queen, but everyone also knew it was not spoken of. It made them all happy, and pointing it out would hurt them. But the open secret that he was a third in their marriage was true, and all were warned when working there. It was not a secret that Dick was really Prince Dick, son of Bruce, the King of the Sea. The kingdom thrived with his help. And if one or two of the young princes and princesses seemed aquatic, well, it wasn't anyone's business. The end.